We again come to you with the simple lessons on prophecy, and may I say that I'm just giving you the gist of what I believe the Bible says concerning the Lord's return for the church, for Israel, and for the nations of the earth. I am doing this because of the questions that were raised in our study of the book of Revelation, and I just sincerely hope that as we take up these brief studies concerning these three great divisions of prophecy, because there is hope for the church, there is hope for Israel, and there is hope for the nations of the earth. And we've been dealing in our past lessons with the hope of the church, which is the coming of the Lord. The hope of the individual believer is to be with the Lord now. The hope of the church of Christ is the coming of the Lord, spoken of in Thessalonians chapter 4. After the taking away of the church, then God begins to deal with nations, and especially with Israel. And here today we are beholding a marvelous thing, a nation that has been under Gentile domination for over 2,500 years. God has preserved his people through the centuries, and he has brought them back into their own land, and they have their own government. I say again, the first time in over 2,500 years, right from the days of Nebuchadnezzar, right through until 25 years ago. And of course the question is raised oftentimes, is God fulfilling his purpose for Israel? Is this the regathering of Israel? I would say in that connection, it's the beginning of the regathering of Israel. For you remember that although there are possibly 2 million Jews in Israel, there are more than 6 million Jews in America. There are more than 3 million Jews in Europe, counting Russia. And so one could go on. They're still scattered all over the face of the earth. They've been a proverb, a byword for centuries among the nations. Now God in his wonderful grace is beginning to move. The time of the completion of the Church of Christ, I believe, is very close. And you remember that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel, having spurned their Savior, was scattered, and now they're back in their land. And as I have been saying in the past two lessons concerning Israel, Israel rebelled against the grace of God, against his provision. They became idolaters, they became corrupt, and God scattered them among the nations of the earth. And now they're going to be regathered. But before the Lord is going to come and reign, there must be a purging out from Israel of all the rebels, of all the unbelieving Jews. As Jeremiah chapter 30 speaks of it as the time of Jacob's sorrow. God has declared in that same chapter he would chasten them. He would punish them, but he would not do away with them completely. He would also deal with the nations. In the book of Ezekiel, as well as in the prophet Isaiah, we have where God's going to purge out of them her rebels. He's going to cleanse them, as Isaiah chapter 4 says, and Zechariah chapter 13. Now may I just go on from there. God is going to take away their sins. Their sins and iniquities will be remembered no more again forever. He's going to make a new covenant with them. Not the old covenant, which was the covenant of death. For the wages of sin is death, and the strength of sin is the law. It was administration, as 2 Corinthians 3 declares, of death. He's going to give them a new covenant. He's going to write it upon tables, the tables of their hearts, not on tables of stone, but on their own hearts. And none in that day will say, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the oldest right down through to the youngest. And one could go on with the marvelous thing that God has in store for Israel. In that day, they'll never again go out. They'll be at perfect peace. There'll be absolutely no fear, no war. Never again be terrorized. Never again living in ghettos. They'll be in God's land under the favor of God. And instead of being the tail of the nations, they're going to be the head of the nations. Now, this is just scripture. Now, may I go on from there? Is it not true that the preparation is going on now for this? As I said in our past lesson, we see a nation for 25 years, it has been recognized. for the first time in 2,500 years, has been recognized as a nation with its own government in its own land. But the tragedy is, there's no spiritual life. It's very nationalistic without God. And God is going to gather them from the north, from the south, from the east, and the west. It's an amazing thing how that God is going to bring them into the land, and he's going to take care of them. Now, when will they be at peace? That's a good question to ask. When will they be at peace? Certainly, they're not at peace today while I'm talking to you. The hot spot of the world is the Near East, not Vietnam, not even Russia. The hot spot of the world is Palestine, surrounded by her enemies. Nations are beginning to take their stand for or against Israel. And may I say, the great majority are not standing with Israel. And don't you forget what God says in Genesis chapter 12, which has been proven by history down through the centuries. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse him that curseth you. As our Lord said, he that is not with me is against me. And I tremble for the nations today that are not standing with Israel in this time of their exceeding great trouble, surrounded by enemies. And don't tell me, my friend, there's no fear there. They do not know what a day is going to bring forth. Neither do you. Neither do you. None of us can tell what's going to happen within the next 24 or 48 hours. There was a time when we could go on blissfully living our lives and nothing is going to change. It's changed overnight. And I repeat it, my friend, if ever I was sure that we are living at the end of this dispensation of grace, I'm sure now the coming of the Lord is very, 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 very near. And God's going to work these nations. I remember in Matthew 24, where our Lord said that Israel would be hated of all nations for his name's sake. And when I see these things beginning to come to pass, we who are Christians ought to lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Now, when will the Lord come and deliver Israel from her enemies? You've got to confess with me that she is surrounded by her enemies. Now, it's true that I've been giving you scriptures concerning the future of Israel with a new covenant and a national forgiveness and so on. But may I say, there can be no national forgiveness without national repentance. But there's no repentance, hence no forgiveness. That's why I quoted these verses to you from Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Zechariah, where God's going to purge out of Israel her rebels. He's going to punish them. Will they ever have peace? Yes. When will they have peace? When the Lord, when Israel calls for him. Listen, friend, again may I make a statement. There can be no national peace and forgiveness for Israel until there is personal, national repentance. This is true all through your Bible. May I turn to the fifth chapter of the prophet Hosea? And I'm going to make a statement, first of all. Then I want to take the Bible and prove it to you, that Jesus Christ will not come back to the earth until the nation Israel calls for him. Now, I'm not talking about his coming for the church. I'm talking about his coming to Israel. We're dealing with the nation Israel. And when I say that, I recognize there are those who will very heartily disagree with me concerning the nation Israel. But again, may I tell you, my friend, Israel is never the church, and the church is never Israel. God has a dealings with the nation Israel. Let me read from Hosea chapter 5, the 15th verse, the last verse of the chapter, and running into chapter 6. Hosea. Now, Hosea is the book that follows Daniel. If you know your Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Hosea is the next great prophet. Chapter 5, verse 15, I read. where God is saying to Israel through his prophet Hosea, I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me earnestly, saying, Come, let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, and so on. What I'm trying to tell you is this, my friend. The time is going to come for the nation Israel, where in their extreme dilemma, when there's no hope around them, surrounded by enemies, their only hope is from heaven. And the Lord here is saying, I'm going to go back and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense. Our Lord came to them. In the book of Matthew is answering the question, is Jesus of Nazareth the Messiah, the King of Israel? And he proves his right to the throne. But Israel rejected him, even as their Messiah and as their Savior. And the judgment of God fell upon them. And the Lord went back to glory. And he said, I'm not going to come back to the earth until they, Israel, acknowledge their offense. And they seek my face. And in their affliction, in the time of Jacob's trouble, in their great tribulation, they will seek me earnestly, saying, Come, let us return to the Lord. For he hath torn us, he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall stand in his sight. Now you think of this now. The Lord says, I'm going to return back to my place until there is national repentance, until the nation seeks my face. And they're going to say, for 2 days he's torn us, 2 days he's afflicted us, but the third day he's going to raise us up, and we're going to live in his sight. May I read to you from the book of Matthew, one of the last words of our Savior to the nation Israel. You remember in Matthew chapter 23, and I'm going to read those last 3 verses of the chapter, where Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's true. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth until you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now you couple that with Hosea chapter 5. I'll go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me earnestly, saying, Come, let us return to the Lord. Jesus said, I say unto you, I'm going to leave your house desolate. And a few years after the Lord made that statement, Jerusalem was destroyed with its temple. I'm going to leave your house desolate. For I say unto you, you will not see me again until you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And when Israel, when there is national repentance of Israel, the Lord will come and deliver them from their enemies. Did you ever stop to think, by the way, of this amazing thing? In the 107th Psalm, for example, this is the history of Israel. They got themselves into trouble, then they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them from all their enemies. Then it falls on a few more verses, and then they got away from God again, and they cried unto the Lord in their dilemma, and the Lord answered them and delivered them from their enemies. Over and over again, read that 107th Psalm. Now we come again. Jesus said, You will never see me again until you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And in their extremity, surrounded by the nations of the earth who are determined to stamp Israel out from under heaven. And don't tell me, my friend, that some of the Arab nations have forgotten that. They still want, right down in their hearts, they want to liquidate the whole nation of Israel. They've said this very frankly. They'll not be satisfied until they have the whole land of Palestine and Israel pushed into the sea. And when I see conditions today, I realize that stage is being set for Israel to go through her time of trouble, as Jeremiah spoke of it, the time of Jacob's trouble, when God's going to purge out the rebels. He's going to take 2/3 of them off, bring the 1/3 through the fire. And in their extremity, in desperation, they'll cry for the Messiah to come and deliver them from their enemies. And he will come, and he will deliver them, and he will judge the nations of the earth and put Israel where it belongs. See, friend, it isn't what you think or what I think. It's what God has written. This is God's program. Do you ever stop to think of it? For 2 days, allow me to be a little fanciful here. May I be a little fanciful? You know, 2 Peter 3 says that 1,000 years are as 1 day, and 1 day as 1,000 years. You ever realize that Israel, from the time the house was left desolate, when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, that nearly 2,000 years have gone by? And they've been among the nations of the earth as a byword, as a proverb. Nobody wants them. They've lived in ghettos. They've run from country to country. They've been chased. They've been maligned. They've been mistreated. But they're still here. 2 days you've torn us. Now, remember, Hosea prophesied this before it ever took place. 2 days he's torn us. 2 days he's afflicted us. And the third day we shall stand in his presence. May I come to the New Testament? In the Gospel through John, chapter 1, verse 29, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now notice verse 35 on. "The next day John seeth Jesus, and he said to his disciples, Behold the Lamb of God. And John lost his disciples." You go down about verse 43 in there, it says, "And the day following he saw Philip, and he said, Follow me." And the chapter ends, "You shall see the Son of Man, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The very first verse of chapter 2 of John says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And Jesus was there, and his mother was there, and his brethren were there, and his disciples were there, and he manifested forth his glory." If you've got a piece of paper, write it down. John 1:29 is the cross. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Then you've got 2 days of our Lord gathering disciples, individuals to himself. You have John, you have Andrew and Peter, and then you have Philip and Nathaniel. The chapter ends, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, and the third year there was a marriage. Jesus was there, his mother was there, his brethren were there, his disciples were there, and he manifested forth his glory. You might say that's fanciful. No, my friend. This is just what the Word of God says. 2 days he hath torn. 2 days he's afflicted us. For nearly 2,000 years, Israel has been among the nations of the earth, being abused and afflicted and maligned and mistreated. While he's doing that, Jesus has been gathering disciples unto himself, individuals, forming a church, like Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel. 2 days he'd been doing this. The third year there was a marriage. And his brethren were there, that's Israel. And his disciples were there, the church. And he manifested his glory. Oh, listen, friend. we are very, very, very close to the coming of the Savior. If I see today preparations for what's in store for Israel in the fulfilling of the prophetic word, how much nearer is the coming of the Lord for His church, for you and for me who love Him? Oh, I would just plead with you, Christian, to redeem the time. Buy up every opportunity of knowing all you can about your Savior, and then tell somebody else about Him. Communicate the precious good news to others. And He that shall come will come and will not tarry.